For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you all for joining me on the latest CSG special. This is, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. This is a Around the NBA with Trey. And, of course, you know that that means my friend and fellow film watcher, Trey Mitchell. Hello, sir.
Hey, man. I think it would be funny if people thought that this was Trey Young was on the show, nursing his broken pinky. Side note, I have him in fantasy basketball, and I'm in the championship this week against our mutual friend Kyle, and him and Shengun both getting hurt right as my team was about to win. It's tough. It's tough. My God.
But you still have MPJ, don't you?
I have MPJ and Jokic and Colin Sexton.
that's quite the list.
The big three.
Yes. speaking of MPJ, his brother... Jonte is in some deep shit. Apparently, there is a investigation into him right now. There's all of this is alleged, by the way. None of this is confirmed yet. But if you read the report that was put out by Brian Windhorst and Woj and a couple other people on ESPN, it says that he was deliberately a part and parcel to people betting the under on his performances for the Toronto Raptors, because some people were smashing the under and getting a lot of money according to DraftKings. And if you read the report, it's very I would say almost damning information here about Jonte Porter and his involvement in this. So, Trey, I know you've had some thoughts on this for a long time. You and I have talked about gambling, and you have no issue with gambling, but the way the sports leagues have really emphasized it. So kind of talk about your reaction to the report, and kind of we'll fold that into what our own thoughts are with the gambling and the sports leagues.
It's a crazy week because of this and Shohei Ohtani getting in trouble for his interpreter. Right. I don't follow baseball. I live in Chicago now, so like I mildly pay attention to the Cubs. Mm-hmm. But like I don't really follow baseball that much. So that I've kind of like today I've read a little bit more about the Ohtani situation. So it's crazy that that happened the same time as Jonte Porter, which I don't know if you've like watched the video. It's pretty bad in terms of, obviously it's all alleged, but like you can read between the lines, like even when he banks in a three and he looks like terrified of that. He just made a three, which is not good. And I think the first time he got subbed out because he said his eye hurt. So, I mean, the situation is that people took the under on Jonte Porter stats or whatever, and like that should raise the alert already. Is that anyone's betting on Jonte Porter? Red flag.
Yes.
I mean, what kind of sicko do you have to be to bet on Jonte Porter? I mean, I know the Raptors aren't very good, but I mean, come on, that's
making a lot of money.
Yeah, and so the betting not only like a dollar, like I and we'll get into this, but I don't really have anything against sports betting in general, but thousands, betting thousands of dollars on Chauncey Porter is crazy. And then to do it twice, I think the second time he was taken out of the game for an illness. So not only did were there abnormal bets, but then he leaves the game while people took the unders on his props. So that is really damning. And as much as it sucks for the Porter family because they've gone through a lot in the past year. I know the third Porter brother, I believe he was just charged with some sort of manslaughter in Colorado for drunk driving death that he caused. So like there's it's been a rough year for them, and I feel for that family because bad stuff keeps happening. But anyways, it sucks, but it also felt like this was something that was probably going to happen at some point or another with just how much sports betting is being normalized and being pushed down everyone's throat, essentially. Like, I think of sports betting kind of as if it's like, it's not cigarettes, but it's almost like drinking in a way where you can do it responsibly, but you can easily do it irresponsibly. And I think of it like if you were a former sports bettor and you're trying to not sports bet anymore, you can't watch sports. You can't, because it's every ad during the games. The teams show the props. The teams, I watched the Nuggets game last night, they're like, oh, the spread went from 14 and a half to 15 and a half during the game. Like, okay. It's there's so much money being injected into sports and sports podcasts and sports websites and whatnot. So it's really tricky, but it sucks that this happened, but it kind of was inevitable in a way.
You know, I think about it, and I don't gamble. Anyone who listens to this podcast knows. Even when I was reading DraftKings, I would say that I don't gamble. Just because I don't have a moral issue with it. I know I'm not good at it, and I also know that I am cheap. So within that spirit, I don't do it, and I'm risk averse. So, but at the same time, maybe a part of this issue is ease of prop betting, I think, because this is really where this stems from, is prop bets on individual players, which is something that I've really been uneasy about myself, and how, particularly in individual sports like baseball and basketball, which isn't an individual sport, but it has very individual stats based. Where you can really get some fuckery happening, and that is what has always made me uneasy about the prospects of gambling in sports. And I'm not saying that there is any large issue going on right now, but it's something that could increase, particularly since, I mean, you and I talked about this, the League Pass having the ease of access with the gambling. With this
Yeah.
new advent that they're happening. So it's like, to me, it's like you pointed out degenerates are out there. I was like, oh well, it's even easier right now. I mean, and they can live on that sort of thing, and not have to really worry about, like, in the past you'd have to go to an illegal gambling bookie, you know. Now
Yeah.
you don't do that, and it's just like, I don't know, there's so many aspects of this that have always made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, the props are difficult because, like, with players, I mean, if it's like Jontay Porter under 1.5 threes in a game, like, you can just easily miss those threes.
Right.
And, like, I'm probably going to be making around $700 from bets that I placed earlier this season. So, like, I definitely am not against sports betting. I am pro betting Nikola Jokic MVPs because that's what has made me a lot of money in the past.
Cottage industry.
And yeah, so it's tricky. I mean, it's crazy though. Like I really am against, I think it's like an ease of access issue without like with being able to do it from your phone. It's like if you could just tap on your phone and then have like a can of beer appear, like that would make drinking it would be easier to do that, or you
Yeah.
have to go to a store to get it. So like tonight, for example, I was thinking of going to watch some of the basketball games with some people, but I'm like, okay, well, the main game I want, the Pelicans and the Thunder, is a league pass game. Like, what bars have that? And the only bar that I could think of that I know would have it, there's a DraftKings bar here in Chicago. And I'm like, I refuse to go to the DraftKings or the FanDuel. What bar? There's a FanDuel bar too. And it's called
Oh,
Over
God.
Under.
Oh,
So it's
God.
like, this stuff is just, it's just every, I guess I could probably go to Barstool, but that is equally terrible. So yeah, more bars need league pass, but it's just, yeah, I mean, I see taxis with FanDuel ads on the top. I see it. I think the most egregious one is just in game. It's like in game by the networks. And then like, earlier this month you had the whole stupid Jason Tatum ESPN bet stuff where Stephen Smith like basically made those odds get better. And then just by going on First Take and saying Tatum should be the MVP in the MVP discussion, which is like any logical person would say he's probably like fifth at best in the MVP. So people putting money on that just is free money to ESPN. So that whole situation is pretty weird and dystopian, is that's the word I've used. So, and then you have like Reese Davis going on ESPN and saying, anyone who doesn't make this bet on UConn is like, it's a free investment, you're losing money. It's like,
Oh,
okay,
God.
this is the ESPN bet stuff is, I think, the most dangerous of any of it. But yeah.
That's just it's one of those things that was a it, look, you and I could have predicted this 4 years ago when betting was made legal throughout the country. Well, no, 5 years ago now. And Colorado was one of the first states, not one of the first states, but it was like I think it was like the fifth or sixth state to get legalized gambling, sports betting, I should say. And the interesting thing about this is like there's people who go to casinos all the time to bet on sports. They bet on various things that it's been going on for a long, long time. Prop bets have been going on for a long time. Parlays have been going on for many, many years. You used to just have to travel to Vegas and Atlantic City in the United States in order to do that. A lot of European countries have legalized gambling, and there is, I've always been uneasy with it becoming like these European sports like the soccer out there or the some of the other things where it's like it is just omnipresent. Everything is just influenced by the betting. And I like I said, I have no moral issue with it, but this was always going to be a thing. And when the sports leagues crawl into bed with sports books, it's just like, why? And of course, as soon as I tweeted that out after I saw the article yesterday, and of course I had a bunch of people tweeting at me saying, "Well, it's not the sportsbook's fault that this is happening, and it's the responsibility of the player to be." I mean, I'm like, yeah, fucking, of course it is, but there's just steps here. There's steps here that lead
Yeah, the
to
easier you
issues.
make it to access, there's going to be an abuse of that system. So I agree. I mean, yeah, in general, like I don't have anything wrong with gambling. Like I've been to Vegas, I've enjoyed blackjack. But it's all just a responsibility thing. I think there's, and like I think you're seeing it a little bit more with some of the sports books. Like I know when I log on, it's like you have been on this for 10 seconds to kind of like tell you how long you've been on and stuff. So I think someone like trying to make it a little bit like harder to really get in trouble with it. But I mean, it is a problem. It has been getting worse and worse. And I just kind of like, I hate every time I watch the Nuggets and I see the, what is it, like Bet 365
Right.
like odds that they put on. And it just feels icky. That's just the thing. It's like the betting itself isn't bad, but it's like the process in which it happens, and the fact that it's like, I almost wonder if it's going to be like a cigarettes situation where it's like they just can't advertise it on TV anymore because it's everywhere, and it's just like, yeah. Like I said, I think of people who are trying to recover from maybe gambling, addiction and like try to watch sports and how terrible that must be.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's no, you're absolutely right. Chris Vernon was talking about it on the mismatch today, and he was talking about how the biggest tell is something that you had brought up, or when we started the podcast just now, was the Jontay Porter aspect of it. Is it's just I it, you had he would thought he said it must have been a sting operation because no one's going to be betting the under on Jontay
Oh,
Porter.
what an, like, yeah, you got to do, like, I mean, I'm not going to tell someone how to illegally do it, but Jontay Porter, like, he's maybe the 500th player I would assume someone would be betting on the NBA.
All right. Is and people apparently were making
Thousands, thousands. Yeah.
thousands of dollars on these prop bets, which is once again it's a he had pointed out the same thing I did. It's prop betting just you leave so much open to player performance, and they try to mitigate that by shifting the odds closer you get to game, so there people aren't monkeying around. Now there is one thing about this story is that if DraftKings hadn't lost so much money on this, and if the people who were around Jonte or in Jonte himself allegedly weren't doing this and such a large scale, would DraftKings have even said anything? Would I mean this could have been going on for a long time. Would they have even mentioned it if there wasn't such a huge loss to them? That's what they keep thinking in the back of my mind. It's like they're only bringing this up because they lost a shitload of money on Jontay Porter.
I saw a TikTok, either like earlier this month or in February, and some guy was sitting close to the Sixers, close to the Sixers bench, and he said, "Hey, Buddy Hield, I have you at like I have the over on your threes. You need one more three, and I won $10,000." And he goes, "Like I got you," and he hits a three, and like it's like funny, but it's also like that's gross,
It
man.
is
That is.
gross. It
That
is really
is
gross.
not what we should be doing. Like, I get Buddy Hield is like, it seems like pretty harmless. And I'm sure that guy appreciated the money that Buddy Hield made him. But this is not what we should be doing. Like, the NBA already, I remember I went to college and there was this guy from Orlando. I went to college in Tampa and he swore that the NBA was scripted and stuff. There is this former center for the Magic who like spoke at his church about how like rigged it is. And I'm like, I'm sure a Magic player would think the NBA is rigged because the Magic haven't won anything.
Yeah, Magic
I
and
mean, they
Kings.
got Shaq, so good luck. Refused to get Tim, did something that didn't let them get Tim Duncan. And like people already think that the NBA is rigged. You have this whole like Lakers free throw discrepancy thing, which I think like it is real, but I think the Lakers also play like they play a very get to the rim kind of brand. So like I think obviously the NBA wants the Lakers to do well, but it's also just the style that they play. So like you have people already not thinking that the NBA is legit. I'm sure Jontay Porter is going to have a podcast with Tim Donaghy soon, called like Banned. that would be my guess. I would place a bet on that. So the NBA already has an issue with these things. So just the sports betting is like making it even worse. No disrespect to professional wrestling, but I do not want the NBA to turn into that in terms of like scripted stuff. If anything, I want the NBA to script to take from wrestling the rivalries between players. Like I would love if Giannis was just like F Nikola Jokic. I hate him. Like that would be great. That'd be fun. So that's my two cents.
No, I completely agree with that sentiment, but I once again I don't want to let my own biases to how I consumed basketball when I was young influence right now, because that we all have our own ideals, and I always kind of like want to move that. But as far as like the last part for me, at least on the gambling aspect, is I don't. I think there will be rules in place very soon, very stringent rules. And once again, Vernon pointed out on the podcast, Jontay Porter is going to get banned for life for this. I mean,
Yeah.
if they prove what is alleged, And the NBA will make an example out of Jontay Porter. And the league is probably very thankful that it is the likes of Jontay Porter who's been doing this and not, say, a higher profile player. And because that would have been cataclysmic. So they are probably going to do the same thing they did with Donaghy, make an example. Now, the difference between Jontay and Tim Donaghy is that I don't think what Jontay's doing is illegal. I don't think that is actually illegal, but it is not legal in the NBA. I may be wrong. Someone correct me on this. And what Donaghy was doing was like basically point shaving in a time where gambling wasn't legal. And that part is was definitely illegal, and he went to prison for it. So that may be
Yeah.
and of course, interviewed Tim Donaghy on the podcast in 2013. So if anyone, if one of you want to check that out, you can go ahead. The guy's a slime ball, so I don't know how much you want to listen to
There's a
that,
pretty
but
good documentary on him too. I think it's on Netflix
Netflix,
that I
okay.
watched. Yeah,
Untold.
he is a slimy guy. Him and is it, what the honestly the most interesting part of Tim Donaghy is like his relationship to Scott Foster and how a lot of people think that Scott Foster like was kind of complicit and just threw Donaghy under the bus so that he could save his own ass, which is interesting, but
Well, I mean, there's a greater story here that I could go into quite a bit, and I probably don't want to bore people with this because I've said it before, but one of these days I'll talk about it. Because his implication of the 2002 Western Conference Finals was something that everyone knew, and or Dick
it's the most
Bavetta,
obvious one in NBA history.
D and Dick Bavetta was heavily implicated in that, and Dick Bavetta got off scot-free. And there's just questions as to why these refs who the NBA probably knew had there were some issues, why they ended up having such long careers. Dick Bavetta didn't retire till 2014, so I mean it's I don't know. But anyway, okay. On the second half of the podcast now, Trey and I are just going to talk about some hot teams in the NBA and maybe some implications in the. We're going to focus on the West this time, Western Conference playoffs. So we'll get to that right after the break.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back. So Trey, is there any teams that you're following pretty intently right now? I'd say you're in an Eastern Conference city right now, but is there any teams that, and of course the in the play-in tournament, Chicago Bulls
The
somehow.
loss to the Washington Wizards last night, Chicago Bulls
Oh my God.
at home.
At
I've gone to two Bulls games this season. I will not go to another one. It's despicable. Kobe White is the only bright. Kobe White and Ayo Dosunmu.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I mean, I think the Pelicans have been playing pretty well. They've jumped from 5 to 4, passing the Clippers, who are definitely not hot right now. I think Dallas has been playing pretty well. Honestly, been kind of impressed with Dallas. I think since their trade, like their offense is really good, but I think their defense, they can kind of get like 130 to 135 point wins.
Right.
It was crazy, the Suns lost last night to a Victor Wembanyama-less San Antonio Spurs. And
Spectacular.
I'm nothing if not a professional hater. I hate the Phoenix Suns so much. And obviously, as a Nuggets fan, I have a lot of joy when the Nuggets win. I have almost an equal amount of joy when the Suns lose. I've enjoyed it a lot, mainly just because of like selling their soul for Durant, trading two good players and five picks and three swaps or whatever for a 34-year-old player, and just like being like, we're gonna trade for Bradley Beal and have no point guard. It's gonna go well. We're gonna trade for Yusuf Nurkic, and none of it's going well. They're the A seed right now, 3 games above LA, so they probably like won't they won't fall to 10 because the Warriors Oh man, the bottom of the plane is just the teams I hate the most. It's the Warriors, the Lakers, the Suns. It's pretty great. Houston's been playing really well too. I mean, they're only half a game out of 10 right now. They're 14 and a half back of one, and Golden State's 14. So that's interesting. It looks like the Rockets have played one more game than the Warriors have, so it's more like one game behind. But yeah, I'd say the Pelicans are probably the team I think right now that are playing the best. They have a big game tonight against the Thunder. I am kind of contemplating on if I should see a movie tonight or if I should watch that. It'll be kind of like a game time decision.
Well, what
The
let me
movie
ask you
is
something.
Love Lies Bleeding, for anyone wondering.
I recommend I've heard nothing but good things about Love Lies Being.
Yeah, same.
So let me just ask you this on the subject of the Pelicans. Brandon Ingram is going to be out for a bit. Do you think this actually is to the benefit of the Pelicans? Because Zion's been playing that well, and this will just give him more space to continue that. Or do you think they'll eventually, the lack of Brandon Ingram will eventually catch up with them?
I think Brandon Ingram's a really good player. I think if anything, I think Trey Murphy is a really good player. And he hasn't even been starting for them. So like him starting would be really great. This team just has so many wings. They have I'm just a little, like looking at the roster, Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, Naji Marshall, Trey Murphy, Larry Nance is really a wing. Matt Ryan, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. Zion, they have a lot of wings, so it's like, yeah, I think they're probably better with, I think they're definitely better with Brandon Ingram, but they're a really interesting team and they play basketball a cool way. I like when they like put Zion at point guard. It's fun. I like when teams do weird things. I know the Rockets are like, we don't need Şengün, we can put Jabari Smith at five. I'm like, wait a second. This sounds like something the Rockets did earlier and like a few years ago without a center, and it didn't really work. Jabari Smith is really good though. But yeah, I think of like the teams in the play-in, the Mavericks just scare me the most. I think they have like the ability. Well, the Mavericks and the Suns are like a hypothetical team. But yeah, the Pelicans are really good and they have a lot of wings to make up for Brandon Ingram.
Here's my thing about, well, not, let me just throw out there about the Rockets. They played a lot of crap teams. I in their
They
stretch
played
where they,
all crap teams.
so I kind of look at that like they hit a very favorable stretch in their schedule, much like the way I view the Thunder and the Thunder are going through a brutal stretch in their schedule right now.
Yeah, they're the opposite of the Nuggets in terms of their like how their schedule was laid out.
Right, and the Nuggets were victims of how packed together their schedule was due to that freaking in-season tournament. But they, but coming back to the Pelicans, they've been playing better, and obviously because they're the fourth seed now. But my thing about the Pelicans is they're never going to go to a next level until they decide what they want to be, and it seems like this Brandon Ingram injury is going to allow them to decide who they're going to be. Because sometimes it takes something like this. Sometimes it takes a unfortunate injury for a team to move in a different direction. I'm not saying that they're going to move off of Brandon Ingram, but there has been a concerted issue between Brandon Ingram and having Zion Williamson there as two guys who really want to be the guy. And if you have two guys like that on your roster needs to make sense. And I think this may allow the Pelicans to make sense and to see how this will go because they've seen how it works without Zion because he's been injured that much. But it's going to be interesting to see how it works with Zion and without Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing is if they did move on from Brandon Ingram, Zion's a very injury-prone player, so you probably want that sort of assurance that you have someone if Zion's hurt. But yeah, they don't have a lot of guards. I'd say like T.J. McCollum's been pretty good. Jose Alvarado is pesky. Dyson Daniels is like a combo. But yeah, I mean, if I do watch them tonight, that I would be really interested in that game because the Thunder. Let me read you their remaining schedule in terms of teams they play. So the Pelicans, the Rockets, the Suns, the Knicks, the 76ers, the Celtics, the Pacers, the Hornets, the Kings, the Spurs, the Bucks, the Mavericks. There are probably one, two, like three or four of the next 14 games that I consider like wins probably for them. You know, like the Hornets and the Spurs and the 76ers might even not be an easy win, but that's hard.
And it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that because their schedule hasn't been filled with that many back-to-backs. It's been a very good schedule for the Thunder. I'm not saying this is why they've won as many games as they have. They're a good team. They're a really good team. And Chet's kind of after having a lull in the middle of the year is starting to come back up again. That lull probably cost him the rookie of the year thing to Victor Wembanyama, who's obviously transcendent player. But
Oh, yeah.
there is this thing that I look at with the Thunder. It's like they can't rebound. And it's going to kill them in the playoffs. And I don't think that's a controversial statement. But right now, through this stretch, is going to kind of separate where we think that where the Thunder have been and where they probably will be going in the playoffs, because this is by far the most brutal stretch of basketball they have faced all year, and I'm curious with them to see how they handle this sort of thing. They're so young.
Yeah, and it's been interesting. Like, I know Josh Giddey hasn't closed a lot of games. It does feel like he sort of is there. Maybe there's like the starter that is the most expendable there. Yeah, I mean that team is loaded. There's just so much talent there. I mean, they just got Gordon Hayward, and I don't think he's been overwhelmingly impressive. So yeah, the Thunder really good. I do feel like a lot of times I think of them as like the 2019 Nuggets, the team that lost to the Trailblazers,
Second round.
almost lost to the Spurs in the first round.
Yeah.
So I mean, and but I okay. So there's been a lot of talk about do the Thunder need to have like playoff experience to go far in the playoffs? And I honestly think that this group does not. Like I trust those guys. I don't think you it's like this isn't a three arc story where you have to go in the playoffs and then get your butt kicked and then come back the next year and be better. Like, I think this team is as good as anyone outside of Denver in the West. I would not be shocked if they make the Western Conference Finals. I would not be shocked if the Nuggets lose and then they make the finals. Like, I think they're that good. Especially with like the Clippers kind of falling off. The Timberwolves are without Karl Anthony Towns probably until the playoffs. They're still the Timberwolves are still very good. They must beat the Nuggets without any players. So, but I do think it is shaping up for a Denver Boston or Denver Atlanta Hawks if you watch the last night's game in the NBA Finals. Man, that did you watch the end of that game or see what happened?
I did.
That was bad. That was confirmation bias to me, the
Well,
end of that game.
that remind that just it was a part what I, that was example number one of sometimes the Jays can be great and sometimes the Jays can be getting both in their own ways, and that's
They
they're
don't
gonna
have a, they don't do some, like, they don't have a play. The Celtics
yep.
don't have a play where they can get, like, an action from. Like, the Nuggets have multiple plays. They have, you know, the patented Jokic Murray pick and roll. They have the Jokic Murray pick and roll to the corner three. They have the Jokic Murray pick and roll to the Gordon Oop. They have Gordon bringing it up and playing, doing horns. They have so many sets that they like. And the Celtics, it's like, we're going to make Jaylen Brown dribble 23 times and then take a shot. It's like, and I know that they're basically playing meaningless basketball right now because they have the one seed clinched,
Basically,
essentially, I think. So it's like it doesn't matter, but I think the things that maybe the Celtics should be working on at this point in the season are those close game executions because they have failed in the two games against Denver. They failed in the playoffs last year. I mean, they still beat the Sixers, who just failed harder than the Celtics. But it's just been something that they haven't been able to do. And yeah, that team's really good, but they just seem to get stressed out at the end of a game.
I was listening to the Poop Collective from Monday, and they had Ryan Rucco on there. And Rucco kept saying, this is all due respect to Denver, this Boston Celtics team has a chance to be one of the best teams of all time. And I'm like, even during the season, I never felt that way about the Celtics. They're playing, and part of this is the Eastern Conference to me has reverted back to the old Eastern Conference when there's a bunch of shit teams
It's,
and
yeah.
mediocre teams at the bottom. I mean, look at the play-in. I mean, you got the Bulls are under 500. You know, there's not a single West opponent who's under 500, and although the Warriors are close. So it's like, I don't know. It's just like sometimes you benefit from the state of your conference. I think that the Clippers, for our friend Joe, who's listening to this, I'm sure, the clip the not the Clippers, the Celtics are undeniably great, and they will be in the finals. That's the way I look at it. They're not, I don't think they're as good
Yeah.
as the Nuggets, but they are undeniably great, and they will be in the playoffs. But to Rucco's point, they are not all-time good as far as I've reviewed them this year. And I have seen nothing, especially from last night's game, that goes against what I was thinking already.
When you play the Pistons four times, the Wizards four times, the Hornets twice, the Raptors twice, the Nets, I think four times each season. Yeah, you're gonna have a pretty substantial lead. And like that is, I mean, the bottom of the West, like the Spurs beat the Suns last night without anyone. The Grizzlies are really bad. I'm not gonna
Oh yeah,
the
they were
Blazers
terrible last night.
are really bad. So let's say you have two of those teams, like the Blazers and the Grizzlies. I don't think the Spurs are like terrible, but the Jazz are,
The
feisty, the
war.
Rockets are feisty. Like every other team is not terrible.
Well, you're looking at the Rockets, who are on a 9-game winning streak, and they're just below the play-in right now, you know? And they're just a game behind the Warriors, who have Steph Curry and all that stuff. And that's the way I look at it. But as far as what I think that, I mean, there's, I guess what I'm saying is there's levels of great. And I wouldn't put the Celtics in the all-time great. I will say their MVP this year has been Kristaps Porzingis.
Celtics are going to pull a, what was it, 2008 Patriots and get to the, have like this all-time great season and then lose the finals. It's just the Boston thing.
No, Kristaps Porzingis has been their MVP this year. Without him,
When
that's a different
he
when he
plays a
plays.
third of games.
Yes, he does, because you know, but they're also managing him. But he is as fragile as any player I've seen ever.
I am so sick of getting excited for games. Like, and then one of the players just is not playing. It's been like a problem, I feel like, this season. Like I'm like, okay, Lakers Bucks tonight, cool. I hate them, but cool. And then LeBron's out. It's like, ugh, really, like I don't know if I want to watch that now. It sucks. I mean, of course, it's not like their fault, but it's like
Although
one guy's out, and you're like, I don't have a desire to watch this.
sometimes the Lakers play a lot better without
Well, and I
LeBron.
mentioned Jokic, Porter, and Colin Sexton as my fantasy players. I also have D'Angelo Russell, who has been really good when LeBron doesn't play. Like, really, really good for me in fantasy when LeBron James doesn't play. So I'm in the championship against my nemesis, Kyle. So I need every bit of D'Angelo Russell's head on a cone so I can get.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I think we probably covered a lot, but any last thoughts? Any particular team you want to give a shout out to before we go?
I continue to hate on the Milwaukee Bucks. I do not buy them. I am praying to the basketball gods that our New York Knicks get healthy. Dante DiVincenzo shot out 11 threes last night.
The
The
feisty
Magic are
team.
the fifth seed. That's awesome. That's
So
cool too.
okay, let me ask you about the Magic. There are another team that has played a series of terrible teams,
Yeah.
and there's always these teams that go on these long re re losing, excuse me, winning streaks, and it's the same as the Rockets. They both played the series of just tanking teams.
They have an easy finish too. They
Yeah.
play the Trailblazers, the Bulls, the Hornets,
Oh my God.
the 76ers. That's in April. The Warriors and the Grizzlies too.
Oh my
Like,
God. That is, well, talk about a cake schedule. Oh my God. That's amazing. But I feel happy for him. I like the
yeah, the
Magic. They
match would be
can't,
cool. And
the Magic can't score, but they're a great defensive team. And that's, you know,
yeah,
they're
they
really,
need to
really
fix
good.
their they need to get like a long-term guard. I think Fultz is like probably a backup point guard in the NBA. I like Anthony Black a lot. I think he's been really good. I'm happy with him, but like, yeah, they need someone else. But yeah, they're cool. Basically all the young teams that haven't done well, and like this is like their first playoffs, really. Like the Thunder, like being a Nuggets fan, removing that, the Thunder are cool. They're a cool team. Same with the Pacers, the Magic, I guess the Cavs to an extent because they got murdered last year in the playoffs. So it's like kind of,
I can see that in their future again, to be
yeah.
honest with you. Just the way they're
Yeah. But the
constructed.
East, man, it's Embiid getting hurt sucks because like I thought Philly was as good as basically any of those teams with him. And then after that, it's like Chicago, Atlanta. That is just unethical hoops. So,
Look at the bottom
yeah.
of that bracket in the East. I mean,
That's what I am. I'm saying the
that's
Bulls
like
and
from the
the
Bulls
Hawks and
down.
the Sixers, Miami, who I came on here in like January and proclaimed was a great team and then lost like 45 straight games. They have been unimpressive. They play the Warriors tonight, so.
It's the Mitchell curse is what they're gonna call
Oh God.
that.
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, it'll I'm curious, like as a Nuggets fan, it's like they want the one seed, but I'm kind of like, I don't really want to face, I don't want the Nuggets to face the Suns in round one just because the Suns like have a lot of firepower. Like when they're hitting their shots, it's like a tough. I mean, the Suns are what, idiots picked to win the West. It's like, it's still not, I still like to avoid them if possible. What team for you as a Nuggets supporter would you want to play in round one?
What
Of
I
the
want.
seven bottom of the Mavs, the Suns. Okay, I'll even put in the Kings because the Kings are tied with Dallas for the seven seed. So the Kings, the Mavs, the Suns, the Lakers, or the Warriors.
Oh, either the Lakers or the Warriors.
Yeah, that's mine. I'd rather play the Warriors. I want to make them. I want to be the asteroid that destroys their that makes them go
Destroys.
extinct.
You're the
Exterminate
Cretaceous.
them.
The Cretaceous asteroid that destroys
Yes,
a dynasty.
fossilize those old retirement home bums.
I was thinking about it a couple of days ago. It's like a good friend of mine on Twitter is going through it right now, Jacob Greenberg, and he's the old time Warriors fan going back to before We Believe, you know, and he's going through it right now because every species can smell its own extinction, and this is what's happening right now with the Warriors. And I was thinking about it. It's like, do they need to just do a nuclear bomb on it? Do the Warriors just need to just get everything out of there? I know they
They
just
can't
signed
trade Steph.
Draymond.
I mean, he's too important. He's the best player in team history. He can never trade him.
Yeah, I mean, aside from Steph, I mean, just clean it out. Just like,
It's like the end of Kobe's Lakers. Like
yeah.
Kobe's team, this team sucked, but like Kobe being a lifelong L Laker meant more to them than the 3 seasons that the team sucked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like him forever being known as a Warrior is valuable. But yeah, Klay Thompson.
Oh, Clay,
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
not good. Draymond's fine, but I mean, I'm honestly I like their youngest. Like I like Pods. I
Kuminga.
think I've always been a Moody fan. I like yeah, Kuminga's been great. Trayce Jackson-Davis has been really good this year. Like they have a lot of young players, but they're just yeah, it's weird.
I've had a
So
theory that the ecosystem around Steph Curry needs a guy like Klay Thompson, because there's just this synergy he needs with another shooter on the court. And since Klay has fallen off so much, I mean,
he's not
I'm
starting.
just so bad. Yeah, and he's not even starting. That maybe this that we're seeing the limitations of what someone who shoots like Steph Curry can do. to lift an entire team when you don't have that other thing. You don't have that other offensive weapon, particularly a shooter like Klay. They don't have anyone else on that team who can really shoot like that.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do this season is after a Lakers or Warriors loss is to go into one of their Twitter spaces with the fans,
Oh my
like crying and screaming.
Jim
Jim
Park.
Park. Yep. Shout out Jim Park. It's so fun. If anyone wants joy and doesn't don't and does not like those teams, it's pretty great. So if you see
So
me on
good.
Twitter at like midnight and you see the little
The spaces there.
purple, yeah,
Yes.
spaces circle, that's what I'm doing. And
That's
it's
so
always
funny.
like I'm like fighting to fall asleep because it's like midnight in my time and because those are West Coast teams,
But they're
but
so
it's
funny
great.
because especially the Jim Park ones, it's like there's an ultimate level of cope there that I just can't, I
There's
don't
this
think I
other
could ever
Warriors
achieve.
fan too that I don't remember, but he like sounds like a child, and it's pretty good.
This trying to get that in my head. Okay, well, Trey, tell them where they can find you on Twitter and anything. Well, you don't podcast anymore, so I guess tell them where you're at on Twitter so they can tell you how much they love this episode.
My Twitter is Trey underscore Mitchell 3. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I have a little, if you like movies, I have a Letterboxd account at Film Trey. That is me. So thank you for having me on. I always enjoy this.
No. This is your name is in the show, so
Wow.
I can't do
I've
this
made
show
it.
without you. Oh, sorry, I could find another. I could get a Trey Young on here, maybe
You can get
around.
Trey Song. You could get Trey Murphy the third. You could Trey. I don't know if I know any other Treys.
Gonna have to get Music Trey on here.
Oh, that bum.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining me on the latest all around the NBA with Trey. We'll be back. I'll probably sometime during the playoffs with another episode. Ta-ta.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.